the biggest misconception is that you stay in the house you've lived in for a long time. But people choose to move for lifestyle. Sometimes they move to be near recreation or near a university or near their family or further from their family. But then when a health incident occurs, too often people aren't able to return to their home. And that's when it's not aging in place, when you're forced to move from the home you've chosen because something happens in your health, something essentially expectable that then really changes your life.
And you don't just move once, actually. You might go from your home to the hospital and then into a rehab institution, maybe back home, and then to assisted living. There's lots of moves involved sometimes.
There are lots of moves, and we're trying to avoid the ones that are the assisted living type moves and the nursing home type moves. So if your home is prepared well, not only is it a place that reduces your risks of falling and so forth, but it's a place where you can return more easily from rehab, and then your rehab is cheaper, and your rehab is probably quicker because you're in your own environment, you feel good, you're in control. And it's also a place, hopefully, where if or when you need care, it's a place where that care can be given safely, ergonomically for the caregiver. So the caregiver, whether it's a family member or someone who's paid, isn't hurt while they're helping you out in the house.
So tell me some of the things that you need to do in your home. I mean, some of the obvious things that we all think of is like having a bar in the shower, having chairs that lift you up and that kind of thing.
Right, exactly. Those are assistive technologies, bars in the shower. But they're not assistive technologies if you put them in before you need them. So a really important idea is to take care of these things as precautions and just as good design. So the main things we think about are how you enter and exit, you know, safely and without steps, how you move around within the house, whether it's using stairs or getting up and down the stairs or maneuvering through doorways and that the lighting is good, how you get to a full bath and bedroom and the storage associated with each of them, into and out of bed, on and off the toilet, up to the sink and get bathed, where you get your meals and how you prepare them. How you entertain, whether it's watching television or reading or listening to music or having guests, how you do your home office function, which is really important. Everybody has mail to sift through and bills to pay, and often a lot of people need a place where they can comfortably pack and take their pills. And then one thing that's really important to most people is how they enjoy the outdoors. So I've had people actually say to me, well, if you can't get me in my garden, I might as well go to that darn nursing home. Because people want a way to enjoy the outdoors. So we use assistive technologies like lift chairs or like grab bars, but also no-step entries. I don't say ramps because I usually try to change the landscaping and make it just look like a good, normal home, but happen to not have any steps into it.
You mentioned caregivers because that's a key part of someone being able to live independently through illness, for example, or serious injury. And that's a problem. I mean, there are home care services, but there aren't nearly enough for what's going to be required, are there?
There aren't nearly enough services, and there aren't nearly enough caregivers.
And they're not affordable necessarily.
Well, they're not necessarily affordable, but family caregivers actually give the bulk of the care in this country. Some estimates are that it's $450 billion worth of value, but it's not charged, and we need to support that. But also, as longevity increases and the boomer cohort moves into older age, what's called the caregiver ratio is getting very bad. Where we used to have five family members, one or two of which could help with mom and dad, now we only have one or two.
And they may live thousands of miles away.
And the fact is that people are living longer. So in the past 40 years, for example, and I cite 40 because in 1975, my dad was 55 years old, and he retired with enough money to live to age 72. And this was 1975, and he said, "Who lives past 72?" And I didn't argue with him. I didn't say, "Oh, Dad, that's ridiculous." But my father died at 89, and that's no longer uncommon. But just 40 years ago, that was uncommon. So now we have many older people. And when you're older,
13% of the population over 65.
And it's growing, partly because of this boomer cohort, but also because of longevity. But when you're older, you need more care. You need more assistance. So though we might say independent is really a misnomer for proximity because we're always in, proximity. I don't milk the cow, but I use milk in my coffee every morning. So I'm in proximity in some way to a system that backs me up.
But to go back to how do we solve the lack of caregiver problem? Mm-hmm.
Well, one thing we can do is train more people better. And we can reduce the caregiver burden by, for example, if you have a bathroom where you can get into the bathroom safely without assistance, then you don't need that caregiver. So you have, in fact, by using equipment or design better, you've reduced the need for care. That's a really important concept.
Do you see this need being met in time to avoid what many gerontologists think is a coming crisis in terms of care for the elderly?
That's the $64,000 question. Like many things we face individually and as a nation, we don't plan very well. So part of my work now is trying to raise awareness of this issue. One of the things I've been saying is, you know, many of us are aware that Al Gore helped bring climate and sustainability issues higher in the public's awareness. And I'm now thinking, you know, that was Al Gore-ifying sustainability. We need to maybe Joe Biden-ize adult care, older caregiver issues, because we don't pay quite enough attention to it.
Well, I have been speaking with Louis Tenenbaum, and he's founder of the Aging in Place Institute. He's a consultant on these aging in place issues. And one of the statistics, I think, Mr. Tenenbaum, that I found most interesting is that people fear losing their independence way more than they fear death.
Exactly. One study showed 26% of people fear losing their independence, 3% fear death. So when you deliver your family member to an assisted living or a nursing home, you're actually, in their opinion, delivering them to a fate worse than death. And when you do that, you feel guilty, you feel bad, and a whole lot about the family dynamic really breaks down over these issues.
Mr. Tenenbaum, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.